Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Praise God. God is good, right? Thank God for his resurrection power. Whew, so good. Let's go through the scriptures for tithes and offering, right? Before we pray over our tithes and offering. Remember last week, I was sharing with you guys about this passage. I got two more verses from last week, all right? But let's quickly just go through it again. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4. Last week I explained to you. Consider how great this man, I put it in bracket, that was Melchizedek, right? How great or how important, you can also say how important Melchizedek was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Last week I explained this to you. That means that when Abraham paid his tithes to Melchizedek, he didn't even have a son yet. Am I right? Genesis chapter 14. He didn't even have a son yet. When he gave a tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek, the Bible says in verse 5 that his soon-to-be descendant, sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people. Levites, the tribe of Levites, this tribe received the priesthood. We call it the Levitical priesthood. They have a commandment, they receive a commandment from God to receive tithes. In other words, that God commanded them to receive tithes from all the other brethren. In other words, God's intention and God's purpose and God's plan was that they are commanded to be supported by the tithes of the people. So, and then in verse 6, right? But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham. So who was that received tithes from Abraham? It's still talking about Melchizedek. So it was comparing the Levites who received tithes. It was comparing the Levites who had a commandment to receive tithes from the other tribes and the other brethren, comparing the tribe of Levites with Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is Jesus because his genealogy is not derived from them. Here it didn't say Melchizedek was commanded to receive tithes, because Melchizedek is Jesus, who was higher than Jesus to command him to receive tithes, right? Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises, right? Verse 7 today, let's go carry on. Verse 7, now beyond all contradiction, I put in bracket, beyond all dispute, no dispute one, okay? No dispute. The lesser is blessed by the better, or the superior. So, in other words, right, no dispute. Who blessed who now? Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, it has to be greater, right? The superior one blessed the lesser one. Verse 8, here mortal men receive tithes. Mortal men refer to Levites. They would receive tithes. But there he receives them. Of whom? But there he received them. This he received them is referring to Jesus, Melchizedek. He receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. In other words, right, when we pay tithes, I tell you something, when we pay tithes, we are actually witnessing. We are witnessing that my Lord Jesus lives. Every time, right, every time when you take Holy Communion, right, when we, every once a month we take communion, we proclaim his death, right? So communion is a time when you break your bread and drink the cup, you remember his death, you proclaim his death. But when you pay your tithes, you are witnessing that he lives. Wow, so on the one hand, right, you proclaim his death when you take communion, but when you pay your tithes, you are witnessing that Jesus lives. And this weekend, we are celebrating, remembering the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today's message, I will tell you, what does all this mean to us? So Jesus died and rose again. What has it got to do with us? Absolutely. Jesus didn't die for himself. He didn't come for himself. He came for all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. So very good, yeah? We witness that he lives. Amen. And then last week, I show you this verse. Even Levi, who received tithes. Remember Levi, who were commanded to receive tithes. He paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's so enlightening. Your word is life, it's spirit, and it's life. And we thank you, Lord, for your word never returns void. Your word is forever true. And we thank you, we have this opportunity, we get to pay our tithes, or we get to give our offerings. And we thank you that, and remember that you are the source of our life. And we thank you today, we are the seed of Abraham, for we are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that the heavens, oh, the windows of heavens have already been opened since the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today in Christ, we are greatly blessed. In Jesus' name, we just come in line with your word. We just come in agreement with your word. Hallelujah. And when we pay our tithes and give of our offerings, we acknowledge and witness that you live and you live forevermore. Amen. Everyone say amen. Praise God. Is God good? Glory. Glory. Yeah. Today, I want to speak to you about redemption. What an apt topic, because this week we are remembering, you know, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to share with you at the end of this message, as I said just now, what has it got to do with us? You will learn to walk in your redemptive rights. We don't walk like a beggar. Jesus said something to the disciples before he left. Jesus said, I will not leave you and did not leave you as orphans. I will come again to you. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit who will come in to indwell you. So since he did not leave us as orphans and we are not orphans, for we are children of the Most High God, then we don't need to have the emotions of an orphan. Amen. Jesus was rejected so that today we might be accepted in Christ. Hallelujah. A very great, great topic. Amen. Very good. I'm concising it and just want to share this with you. Walking in your redemptive rights. Say with me, walking in your redemptive rights. Say with me, say to yourself, I will walk in my redemptive right. I will walk in my redemptive rights. No matter what Jesus has done, no matter how many privileges that you have in Christ, if you don't claim it, if you don't claim it for yourself and walk in it, there's no use. It's just like this year, the government is giving out a lot of vouchers. If you don't claim it, no use. I'm sure you have claimed it already. Amen. You claim it. Praise God. Amen. Say again, I will walk in my redemptive rights. Hallelujah, praise God. So my text is this one, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, all right? Giving thanks. Now, I also want to give you one hint. When you read the Bible, please pay attention to the past tenses of God's word. Past tense means it's done. Say done. Yeah, count it done. Don't try and bet for something which is already yours, right? Pay attention to the past tense of God's word. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father. You see, scriptures always mention, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Give thanks for his good. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us. I don't like this word, qualified us. He has qualified you. Amen? He has qualified you. Who is there to disqualify you? In other words, you are qualified to partake of the inheritance. Amen? He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And in verse 13, he has delivered us. He has delivered us. You're not trying to get deliverance. That's why we don't need and we should stay away from all the deliverance meeting because we were already delivered. Amen. He has already delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Already done, all right? Already done. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption, right? And Jesus' redemption is complete. His finished work, right? Redemption's work is finished. You know, since the day of Adam in the Garden of Eden, when Adam fell, right? By right, he's perfect, no? He was perfect, spirit, soul, and body. But when he fell, the three parts of him, threefold nature of man, spirit, soul, and body, were all affected, badly affected. First, his spirit was separated from God. He experienced spiritual death. Then his soul, he became fearful. When last time he didn't know what was fear. What was fear? He don't know. He don't even know what is death. He became fearful. And then his body began to degenerate. But yeah, he can still live until 900 over years. But Genesis 3:15, God opened his mouth and said, the seed of the woman will crush your head, talking to the serpent, the snake, Satan actually. And that word spoken from God's mouth was accomplished when Jesus died on the cross. So Jesus' redemption work is also complete. Threefold as well. He redeemed us, spirit, soul, and body. The price has been paid. Redemption's price has been paid. Everything has a price tag. Do you know? Redemption also has a price tag. The price to pay for redemption is called ransom. And Jesus used his life. Pay our redemption with his life. Amen. And his blood is counted worthy. That's why here you see, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You know, not too long ago, it was quickened to me. And I was really, really, very appreciative. Sometimes we really need to, you need to slow down, sit down, and meditate and think of what Jesus has done for you. What all the word that you have heard in church. or the Bible that you have read, what does it even mean to you? So one time, not very long ago, I was sitting down, I was like spending time in his presence. I was so appreciative of the blood of Jesus. Because there is a protocol, you know. Jesus said, I'm the way, you know, the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father, goes to the Father except through me. There is only one way. And Jesus is the way. And we come into the presence of the Father via the blood of Jesus. Amen. In the Old Testament, if you read, nobody go into the holies of holies except the high priest. And that he has to come with the blood of animals. But today, Jesus' blood was shed once and for all. He only shed his blood once. Today, every time, and today I don't have to try to enter his presence. I am living in his presence. I'm already living in his presence. This message is very important. I'm not talking about this message today per se. I'm talking about this message of faith, this message of redemption must be realized. And we must learn to live out this in Christ realities. Because they are a reality. But we need to walk in these realities. And then oppression will be far from you. Fear will be far from you. Sleeplessness will be far from you. Insomnia will be far from you. Bondages will be far from you. We cannot live so short of this. We must fully live out a blessed life. Amen. Hallelujah. So give you some definition of redemption. Redemption simply means to buy back something that has been lost by the payment of a ransom. That's the price tag. Jesus is the ransom. Jesus is the redemption's price. He used his life to pay for you to get eternal life. Hey, after today, I just stir in you this message. After today, you appreciate the Lord Jesus more and more, right? You really fully understand what the death and resurrection of Jesus mean. Every time when we celebrate Easter, right? What does it mean? What has Jesus done for me? Hallelujah. To rescue and deliver from the bondage of sin and the penalties of God's violated law. Why? Because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is my introduction and my main text. Now next, look at this. Jesus is the good shepherd. On purpose, I highlighted this word willingly because Jesus, the good shepherd, willingly gave his life for you. Nobody forced him to die. No, nobody. The Father didn't even force him to die. Nobody forced him to die. He willingly gave his life for you. Amen. Now, and in John chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, look at this. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. If any man enters by me, he will be saved. And we have all entered the salvation door of Jesus, amen, and we are saved. And he said, we'll go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal. Pay attention to this. The thief, who is the thief? Satan, the devil, he's the thief. Jesus said the thief comes for nothing, only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I came that they may have life, and have it more abundantly. Amen. So today, we are to live the fullness of abundant life. We are not to live short of this abundant life. We are not to live in negative emotions. I tell you how to deal with your emotions. Because we have a soul. Amen. Right? But we can overcome and we can always be the master of our soul. Hallelujah. Because we are not the soul. Ma. The real us is the spirit man, amen? We can master our mind, in a sense, bring back into captivity, catch those thoughts back, and not let those thoughts ruin your life. Hallelujah! Then and only then, we will live the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Now, this another verse is to show you that Jesus willingly gave his life. Nobody takes it from him. Look at this. I want you to pay attention to every single verse, okay? I put up all these verses. There are so many scriptures, but I just chose a few I felt very quickened to me to share with you. So you need to meditate on these scriptures. John chapter 10, verse 18. No one takes it from me, he said, but I lay it down on my own accord, or I put it in bracket, willingly. I have authority to lay it down. No, the religious leader, the Pharisees, yeah, they crucified him, but ultimately it's because Jesus, he was willing to lay down his life, amen. And I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. You know, Jesus, he's the Word. Before he came to earth, his name was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is with God, right? Yeah, Revelation also says that the Word, Jesus, his name is the Word. But when he came to earth, the angels gave Mary, the mother, told her to name your son Jesus, right? So Jesus was God made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. It's talking about Jesus, right? That's why he said, I have authority to take it up. But when he came to earth, actually he laid down all his all-knowingness, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and all this. Okay? So Jesus willingly went through. I want you to see this. Nobody forced Jesus, okay? Jesus willingly went through suffering and crucifixion. This morning, you're going to see what did Jesus go through? What has Jesus went through? He went through so much. You think he went through a lot? I also went through a lot, what? But because today, I know Christ, I'm in Christ, I'm living out, you know, the abundant life, you know? You know what I mean? Our past does not determine our future. You should know this, right? Your past don't determine your future. You and God take charge of your own future. Amen? Because you are in Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus went through a lot. We are about to see, okay? So the thing is this. The thing to be admired is Jesus willingly went through suffering and crucifixion. Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 26, right? 48. We will see up to 56 quickly. 48, now his betrayer. Now, first thing first. What did Jesus go through? First thing first, Jesus was betrayed. It's no joke to be betrayed. Anyone of you have been betrayed before? Anyone of you have been betrayed before? It's really no joke. Right? No joke. But I tell you, whatever you go through, Jesus has gone through. And he's the compassionate high priest who knows all your feelings. He knows how you feel. Amen. That's why today our eyes are fixed on him. Hallelujah. Who so loved us. Amen. First thing first, we saw in this verse, Jesus was betrayed. And this one who betrayed him was very close to him. His betrayer had given him a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him. Catch him. 48. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and then kiss him. He pretend, you know. Then 50, but Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. 51, and then one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and then struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But in verse 52, Jesus said to him, put down your sword. Put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Second, what did Jesus go through? He was forsaken. So he was betrayed, and then he was forsaken. How many disciples forsook him? How many disciples forsook him? Oh, no joke. No joke. Does Jesus have feelings or not? All the disciples forsook him and fled. So if you're forsaken, if you're rejected, Jesus has gone through all. Amen. 53, or do you think that I can, now, this is the thing. I show you this verse is to show you that Jesus willingly laid down his life. He said, don't you know, do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels if I want? But you know what? If I do that in verse 54, how then could the scriptures be fulfilled? Remember last week I told you, even the birthplace of Jesus was predicted, was prophesied. When Mary was pregnant with Jesus, they were at this place, and then the government gave a law, passed a law, they have to go back to their hometowns and register. Remember I told you this? And by the time when Mary and Joseph, they went back to Bethlehem, Mary gave birth. Thus fulfilling the prophecy that says that Jesus, right, will be born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem. So even his crucifixion, even his arrest and crucifixion, everything about Jesus' life was prophesied. I want to encourage you. God knows everything about our lives. There is a book written about us. And that's why we pray, man. Praying out the mysteries of God's plan for you, for your children. We don't have to live wandering, and then wander into whatever, I don't know. Don't have to. We can live life on purpose. We can live life meaningfully. And we can live the abundant life to the abundance. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus has done. Amen. Jesus said, if I pray, do you not know if I pray, Father? Yeah, he will provide legions to. But then he said, if I do that, scriptures cannot be fulfilled. And Jesus was willing to go through all this. Jesus was willing because he knew what is the Father's will for him. He knew his mission on earth. He knew why he came to earth for. And that's why he wouldn't escape, but he would rather go through it. And he would willingly go through it, albeit he actually was very sorrowful. So much of agony in his soul, you know. Please be reminded, he did all this not for himself. Firstly, he got no problem. He has no sin. He's without sin. Right? But he did it for us. He did it for us. Think about his wonderful love for you this morning. Please appreciate the love of Jesus. Amen. Your Lord who died for you. All right, jump to 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now, next. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? You heard about how he prayed the prayer of consecration 3 times. Father, if you are willing, if you be willing, let this cup be removed. If cannot, never mind, I will still drink because I want your perfect will. I want your will be done. So he was really suffering and really thinking of not going to the cross, thinking of not drinking that cup of suffering. Jesus went through. Now, look at this. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. And being in agony. I want to tell you, Jesus was in agony. Have we been in agony before? Jesus knows everything. What you go through and what you face, he knew it all. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. The thing we can learn from here is this. When we are in agony, when you are going through trials, testings, don't escape. Jesus never escaped. He never escaped the will of God. He never escaped the plan of God. He stayed there and he prayed even more earnestly. No wonder the Apostle James also said in his letter, when anyone going through suffering, pray. When you are merry, happy, sing. But when you are going through suffering, pray. Jesus prayed even more earnestly. Amen. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And then in Matthew 26, verse 38, another verse, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. His soul, Jesus also has a soul. Yeah, Jesus also has a soul. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. He didn't just say, my soul is sorrowful. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Jesus went through all this. Even to death. Even to death. Stay here and watch with me, he told his disciples. And then not only that, after he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he experienced another thing. He experienced what? Peter denial of him. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. And another Thomas don't even believe that he was resurrected. You know, close disciples of Jesus. And Jesus went through trial. Right, if you read the gospel, you will see that Jesus went through trial. He came, he had to stand before the religious leaders, and he had to stand before the government leaders. They questioned him, grilled him. It's really no fun to be grilled, you know. Grilled him. Investigated, tried to find fault with him. Trial after trial, from one person to another, from Ananias and then to Pilate. And what did he experience? In Matthew 26, verse 67, then they spat in his face. Have you been spat before? Then they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with their palms of their hands. The Son of God who came. And he went through all this, the Son of God. He was mistreated. He was spat at. He was beaten. He was struck. And in Luke 22:63, now the man who held Jesus even mocked him. There was mockery. There was disrespect. There was insult. There was spitting. There was beating. There was scorching. Jesus went through all this. And if you read the epistles written by the apostles, Peter, he said, when Jesus went through all this, he did not even, Isaiah also prophesied about it. He did not even open his mouth. He did not retaliate. He did not revile when he was reviled. That was Jesus. And finally, when he had to go to the cross, Isaiah prophesied about him in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. He said, I gave my back to those who struck me. You see, all this is to show us that Jesus willingly went through what he went through. And I want to share this with you on purpose because, you know, I just want us to remember what Jesus has gone through in his death, burial, and resurrection. And then finally bring us to a point at the end of this message, how we can live out this walk in our redemptive rights. Because Jesus paid a very heavy price. Jesus paid a very heavy price, not for us to live short of the glorious life that he has come to give us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I gave my back to those who struck me. I offered my back and my cheeks. So he gave his back, he gave his cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. He did not siam. He did not hide his face from shame. He willingly go through all this because he knew at the end of all this suffering what it will wrought, what it will mean to the whole mankind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus went through. And not only that, he did not just breathe his last and that's it. He went to hell. Jesus went to hell. After he breathed his last breath, where did he go? Because when the whole world sin is like the demonic forces, darkness, condemnation, judgment, sickness, disease, all these are spiritual in nature, sin, spiritual in nature, all these fell on him. Fell on him. He was oppressed with the oppression of mankind. Although he had no sin, he was just, he was righteous. The just died for the unjust. The righteous died for the unrighteous. And at the end, where did he go? He went to hell. He went to hell. The Son of Man. The Son of Man went to hell. Oh, if only we have a revelation of this. We will not live another day that is not worthy of his calling for our life. First and foremost, he called us to be sons and daughters of the living God. So we do not walk as orphans. We do not have the emotions of an orphan because I'm a child. I'm a child of the Almighty God. Amen. God is my Father. To me, he is my Father. Amen. Jesus went to hell. And finally, thank God, Jesus was resurrected. On the resurrection morning, Jesus was resurrected. Right? Go and read your Gospels. Right? The four Gospels. Jesus was resurrected. What was it that caused Jesus to be resurrected? Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says the glory of the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. It quickens your mortal body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. On that resurrection morning, Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father. And all this, Jesus went through all this for you and me. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus went through all this for you and me. So that today we have a gospel to preach. So that today we have the good news to proclaim. And what is the good news? What is the gospel? Basically, we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 4. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So Jesus died, and he died for our sins. Jesus did not die for himself, for he has no sin. He is the sinless one. But he willingly come, he willingly obeyed the Father, and his obedience was to the extreme. He even was willing to go to the cross. He did all this for you and I. If not, hey, listen carefully, if not, the one to go to hell will be us. For the wages of sin is death. But Jesus went to hell, nobody needs go there. Can you understand? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus did all this for us. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, everything about his life was prophesied. Amen. So, hence today, I'm speaking to you on walking in your redemptive rights. Jesus has redeemed us. Jesus has paid redemption's price. Himself, his life was the ransom. He used his life to pay redemption's price. And as I told you just now in the Garden of Eden, when Adam fell, spirit, soul, and body were all badly affected. His spirit became separated from God, spiritually dead. We call it spiritual death. And then his soul, perversion came in. That's why you have the first murder. You read about how Cain killed Abel. And they were flesh and blood brothers. And then there were murders going on. And there was anger. And there was resentment. And there was jealousy. And blah, 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 and all this. But all this came about because of sin. Before that, it was perfect. That's why all these emotions are not of God. Jealousy, hatred, to the point of wanting to murder, abuse, all this is not of God. And today, right, we know that we have been redeemed. We become a new man in Christ, right? And we walk in the newness of life. And what is in the newness of life in our spirit is love and joy and peace. And we can forgive as Christ has forgiven us. We can walk in all these realities. Amen. That's why I keep stressing to you today. We need to go through, run through with you what did Jesus go through so that we don't have to go through, right? We don't have to go through hell. We don't have to go to hell. But more important, how we apply it in our lives. How we can experience, like John prayed for Gaius, beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in health. When Jesus died, paid redemption's price, he also redeemed our spirit, soul, and body. In the spirit, we become a new man when we become born again. And our soul, of course, is not born again yet. That's why you got to do something with your soul. It's our responsibility to renew our mind, keep renewing. We are so diligent in renewing, upgrading the whatever, the system, right? Yeah, the OS system, whatever. So spiritually, we need to use the Word of God. Renew our mind with the Word of God and take control of your emotions and then rule your emotions and then master your mind. Tell yourself what you can think, what you cannot think, what you can say, what you cannot say. And then physically, healing belongs to us. Hallelujah. Wholeness belongs to us. If anyone should fall sick, healing is our bread. Healing is the children's bread. Can you understand? And finally, the hope of glory. There's one more thing that we really look forward to, and that's the redemption of our body. You know, this body is not the real you. As a matter of fact, this body is a mortal body. It's subject to death. It will die. It will decay. It will degenerate. It will grow old. But you know, we're so looking forward to this day, and my heart really longed for that day, that when the Lord Jesus appeared In the twinkling of an eye, we were put on a new body, and that body is a glorified body, and we call it the glory of the glorified body. That's the final thing. One more last thing to happen. One more last thing to be fulfilled is when we put on this glorified body. Why? Because redemption has been paid. Completed. Redemption's price has been paid. Spirit, soul, and body. The only thing, one thing left is the putting on the new body. And this day will surely come. But meanwhile, guys, meanwhile on earth, let's live as one who is redeemed. Amen? Even in Psalm, there is a verse that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord sing so. I've been redeemed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. What have you been redeemed from? You have been redeemed from sickness. You have been redeemed from poverty. You have been redeemed from spiritual death. That today we enjoy the very presence of God. Amen. We have been redeemed. So we shouldn't be feeling like the world. We shouldn't even be conforming to the patterns of the world. But we have to renew our mind so that we may live out the abundant life. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the key, yeah? Walking in your redemptive right. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because His great love with which He loved us. With what kind of love He loved us? With great love. With great love. With great love. With great love. He loved us. Hallelujah. Can we just ponder over this? Don't be hearing and yet not hearing. Ponder over this. With what love He loved you? With great love. With great love. With great love. With great love. He loves you unconditionally. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Do you know that God sees you in Christ? That when Jesus, that's why other scripture says that we were buried together with Him. We were buried together with Him. When Jesus went to the cross, we went to the cross. When He was buried, we buried with Him. When He was raised, we were raised together with Him. That's what this verse says. We were made alive. The whole humanity were made alive in Christ. This is the legal side of redemption. Legally. Legally. Say legally. You must know your legal rights, right? Legally, the whole humanity have been made alive together with Christ. That's why by grace, Jesus has saved the whole world. By grace, because you know why? Jesus is not going to come again and die, go through the whole process, right? Of being betrayed, of being beaten, of being struck at, of going to the cross, of going to hell again. He's not going to repeat this process. He only came once to die. When He came for the first time, He came for sinners. But when He come again, He's coming for the saints. Do you catch it? He's coming for the saints. We will be caught up together with Him. Hallelujah. He will not come again to deal with sin because sin has been dealt with in His first coming. Hallelujah. But when He come again, when He appear, His feet will not touch the ground. When He appear, we will be caught up together with Him. You call that the rapture. We'll be caught up together with Him. But legally, Jesus has saved the whole world because He has already died. He has shed His blood. He will not shed His blood again. Make one payment. His blood is so precious, you know. I say the blood of Jesus is very precious, you know. Ephesians says that it is through His blood, by His blood, we have access to the Father's presence. We don't have to year after year, day after day. No, in the Old Testament, you know how many animals they have to slaughter day in, day out. Today, Jesus is that one sacrifice. Legally, the whole mankind has been saved. But they still need to hear the gospel. But in reality, in experience, people need to hear the gospel preached to them because they have to believe. They have to believe with their heart, right? Christ died for them. And they have to confess his name. And then they shall be saved. For he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. So now you understand, every time when you come in contact with a lost soul, your heart goes out to them. You don't need to go to hell. You can end up in heaven one day. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you remember last week I showed you this? Do you remember this? Now, after today we look at Ephesians, right? Go through again, okay? Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then read on in verse 8. It actually says that, for it's by grace through faith. Jesus died for the whole world unconditionally. That's God's grace. But we are saved by grace through faith. That is experiencing, receiving salvation for ourselves. So remember last week, right? He made us alive together, right? And then there are other verses that say that we were made to sit together with him in the heavenlies. This is what it means. We are now on earth, the yellow color, we are now on earth. We are now on earth. Our bodies are on earth. Why our bodies are still on earth, can I ask you? Because your spirit is in your body. If your spirit check out of this house, like you check out of an hotel room, your body will have no right to hang around. It will decay. Do you know your body is kept alive today? Our bodies are kept alive today, functioning. It's because of our spirit in us. Do you know not? Serious. If your spirit is no more in there, this body cannot function. Our bodies are still here because our spirit is still inside. So as long as I choose to live, because no one wants to die prematurely, as long as we choose to live on this earth, your body must be quiet. Don't give you trouble. Right? That's why you can speak to your body. Body, be healed. Body, be well. Now, so what if you have a very good, healthy, big, strong body? But if you are not prospering in your soul, but the good news is redemption is threefold. Then you have the right to speak to your soul. Oh, my soul, why are you so sad? David said this to himself, by the way, King David. Be happy. That's why Smith Wigglesworth, the great man of faith, said, I never ask Smith how you feel. I tell Smith how you should feel. I tell Smith what kind of emotions you should have. Hey, the real you is the spirit man. You are in charge. Many people like to be in charge, you know. Learn to let your spirit take charge first. Learn from this. Let your spirit take charge of your soul and body first. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm teaching you something very practical. Okay, it will help you in your daily life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell your soul. Right? That's why today we are on earth. Above us is the first heaven, atmospheric heaven, where the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the world were. They are there. They are still there. And they are real, I'm telling you, don't play a fool. But we are not afraid of them. Right? And the second heaven, spiritual wickedness in high places. And then the third heaven. Actually, God don't just stay in the third heaven. You know, there's a verse, the whole of heavens cannot even contain him. Because God is all present. Right? God is everywhere. The good news, we are seated. Look at this. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. So, application. Now you know that the good Lord Shepherd Jesus willingly suffered, went through all that he went through. He was betrayed. All his disciples fled. All his disciples forsook him. He was betrayed. He was rejected. He went to his own hometown. He went to his very own people. They don't even want him. He was rejected. So that today we may be accepted in God's presence. He was forsaken so that today we never have to have a feeling of being forsaken. Because he said in Hebrews chapter 13, "For I promise you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always your help. Always. Yesterday, today, forever," Jesus said, "I'm the same." All right? So today, know who you are in Christ. Right? I went through this with you to tell you what Jesus has gone through is all for us. So that today, right, we learn to walk in our redemptive rights. Right? Because redemption's price has been paid. If you live short of that, I think it's really not worthy of his calling. He called us to be his children. He called us to redeem. You know what I mean? Jesus paid such a heavy price. How can we live in depression? How can we live in unhappiness? How can we live in unforgiveness? How can we live sick? If I'm sick, I always get my healing. Today, I'm very well because healing belongs to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Because the price has been paid. We have been redeemed from spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. We don't have to live under. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm encouraging you, I'm challenging you to stir you. Live out this in Christ realities. Right? And I'm not going through all the details because it's a whole subject altogether. Right? Know who you are in Christ. Know what you have in him. Know who you are in Christ. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of the Almighty God. So your children go to school. Teach your children. I'm a child of God. Don't try and bully me. Yeah, teach your children that. Tell them. Yeah, even the little kids, they can learn. Redemption belongs to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old guy, no more, died. Now I'm a new man in Christ. Now live like one. New Year, usually wear new clothes. I know now, heng lah. Usually children, we like to wear new clothes, right? So New Year, wear new clothes is, right, reasonable. You know? New man in Christ should also wear new clothing. Can you tell me what are the new clothings, such as what, for a new man in Christ? Love, right? Peace, joy. These are clothings of the new man, right? Not sadness, not mourning, not unforgiveness, not jealousy, not all this. It doesn't look good on you, you know what I mean? So you tell somebody, hey, look, it really looks good on you. And put on love. Well, love is in our spirit already. I'm saying about the soul. You know what I mean? Right? Self-control. Patience. Yeah? Kindness. Wow. Tell your spouse that. It really looks good on you when you put on this. Because new men, reasonably, should put on new clothes, right? Right? Right or not? Right? New men, put on new clothes. Say, new men, put on new clothes. Yeah. So, know who you are in Christ. Know what you have in him. For example, you have the authority that is in the name of Jesus. And you have to be reminded to use it when it's needed. Take authority. Tell the devil, stop! You know, it's your right. Hallelujah. Do you get it? And finally, last week, he's not wearing prophetic t-shirts anymore. Last week, he wore a t-shirt, very prophetic. Always hungry, right? Yeah. So always hungry, always hungry. You say, I'm not quite hungry. That's why I taught you, Lord, last week. I taught you, Lord, to say it out. I'm always hungry. Say it long enough, really, you'll feel hungry. Spiritually, it's the same. I'm always hungry, always hungry, always hungry. And Brother Hagin had a book on the new birth in him and so many more books that every week, once a week, we post it in a group. I encourage you, download it, keep it. These are very precious. Keep it. One day you'll need it. Believe me. Believe me. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I really esteem all this. I esteem all this. Hallelujah. Highly. Highly. Praise the Lord God. Jesus, He's so good. Amen. Is God good? So this morning, what did we learn? Walk in your redemptive rights. Amen. First and foremost, you need to know what the contract says. If you don't read the Bible, you don't know what the contract says, what belongs to you. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? Believe me, you need the word. Okay, more than you think you know. More than you feel you know you need. You really need the word. Amen. We need the word to grow thereby. Hallelujah. Praise God. So be renewed with this message today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let your rain fall. Hallelujah. Rosomara Baba Barianga. Fall like rain.